Blog Talk Radio.
Is not just for the young. Welcome to another Bible study evening with New Beginnings Ministry. We welcome you this evening, this cold, cold evening in Ohio. But I have such joy in my heart, not just for listening to the song New Beginnings, but knowing that in Jesus Christ there are new beginnings for all of us. We can always start over again. He's the God of second chance. I'm Suzanne, and again, you're listening to New Beginnings Ministries. We can begin again. We're here every Wednesday evening from 7 o'clock until 8 o'clock. My husband is Brother John, and he will be joining us also. Welcome, welcome. Let's begin with prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this evening, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the word that is planned for the evening, but we give the Holy Spirit complete control, and if that's not the direction that you want us to go in this evening, just steer us. We thank you, Father God, that you are our counselor, that you are our God, our King, that you are our healer, that you love us so much that you're our Father, that you're our God of peace, you are all in all. You're our banner, that you go out before us, that you protect us. We thank you, dear Lord, for that. And we ask you, Lord, to just bless this hour of Bible study, Father God. And we pray, Lord, that it be pleasing before you. In Jesus' sweet and holy name, amen, amen. Well, last Wednesday, we had begun to talk about understanding the will of God. And the key scripture that was read was from Jeremiah 29:11. And that reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Praise the Lord. What I like doing, especially with scriptures like this, but sometimes we need a reminder, is to put my name in there. So I know the plans I have for you, Suzanne, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper Suzanne and not to harm Suzanne. Plans to give Suzanne hope and a future, Jeremiah 29:11. And if we read our scripture and we apply our scripture, that it's not just poetry, it's not just interesting reading, but it's words to live by. The word of God that we are to live by and order our steps by. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So last week we talked about, we asked the question, do you understand God's will for yourself? And do you understand or do you know what your purpose is in him, what the purpose that he brought you to life for, your purpose in him. And there's lots of good scriptures. Of course, we went through scriptures last week, several of them, and I'm sure some of you read through them with us or maybe referenced them and went back to look at them later. And there are plenty of books that have been written about the will of God, being in the will of God, and one comes to mind immediately, The Purpose-Driven Life, about finding and understanding your purpose in God. But it's very important that we do. Our memory verse, again, is Jeremiah 29:11. So if you could please hold on to that, because we will be coming back to it. So we're going to begin with a little review with some of the scriptures we talked about. Last week we talked about Romans 6:4. The word walk is often used in scripture, and the word walk references our life, the life that you live, that we should walk in faith. We should walk circumspectly. We see that several times in the Bible, meaning that we should walk with our eyes on Jesus. We should walk with our heart sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We should walk with a keen sense of discernment. We should walk circumspectly, meaning that we should walk making sure that we walk carefully, not looking back because you're going forward, but walking to make sure that our walk and what we leave behind us is still honorable to God from where we've come from. So Jesus Christ is our counselor. He is our guide. And we see counselor often in the Bible. In Hebrew, the counselor would mean the leader, the teacher, the wise one. And Jesus Christ is that. So if we could please turn to John 15, verse 13. And I welcome Brother John, my husband, here with us. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Good. Praise the Lord. Are you going to take over? Okay, so we're looking at John 16:13, and that's where we left off last week. John 16:13. All of us should be here. I don't like quiet on the radio because you may think that you lost transmission and believe that we're not here. So we're John 16:13, and of course, you know, I love the Living Bible, but all translations are good. Some people say the King James Version of the Bible is the Bible that God uses, but I'm going to go with the Living Bible. The Living Bible says, "When the Holy Spirit, who is truth, comes, he shall guide you into all truth. For he will not be presenting his own ideas, but will be passing on to you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future." Amen, amen. To know what God says. So, God, the Lord gives us, speaks to our spirit through the Holy Spirit. And in all things, we're supposed to give God glory. Because all the Father's glory is his, is the Holy Spirit, and it's God the Father, and it's Jesus Christ. So let's go back, and let's go back, because the word in reading is important that we get the context. A lot of times, as Christians and even non-Christians, we take words out of context, and we completely lose the meaning, the intended meaning or message of the verse because we've taken the verse out of context. I'm reminded of a radio program I was listening to. I believe it was Moody Radio, and they were talking about how people use "judge not lest ye be judged" all the time, but they take it out of context and not look at what comes before it and what comes after it, and people use that to defend their sin. And that's not what the Lord was talking about. We're supposed to be in holiness. And it's a reminder for us to walk a life of holiness, walking a life of holiness. So if we go back to, let's go back to verse 8. "And when he has come, he will convince the world of its sin and of the availability of God's goodness and of deliverance from judgment. The world's sin is unbelief in me. There is righteousness available because I go to the Father, and you shall see me no more." Now, this is Jesus speaking. "There is deliverance from judgment because the prince of this world has already been judged." And Jesus has already been judged, the prince of this world. Am I correct? "There is deliverance from judgment because the prince of this world has already been judged." Not Jesus, me. Speaking of the enemy. "Oh, there is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't understand it now. When the Holy Spirit, who is truth, comes, he shall guide you in all truth, for he will not be presenting his own ideas, but will be passing on to you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He shall praise me," praise Jesus, "and bring me great honor by showing you my glory. All the Father's glory is mine." This is what I mean when I say that he will show you my glory. So the glory is in the Trinity, in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In just a little while, I will be gone, and you will see me no more. But just a little while after that, you will see me again. Praise the Lord. So what does this mean? Do we have any comments as to what does this mean? I'm going to look at area code 216. We have several of you from that area code. Do you have any comments for us? Area code 216, do you have any comments for us? Can you all hear me? Well, we're going to move on. So John 6:13 again says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So the Holy Spirit was sent to guide us and to teach us. He will consider your feeble infant state, and as a father leads his child by the hand, and so will the Holy Spirit lead you. So if we pray and we ask the Holy Spirit for guidance to know what we're to do, for guidance to understand the will of God, to guide, for guidance to stay in the will of God, to be confirmed that we're in the will of God. The Holy Spirit will do that. So do we have any comments about that? Is there anyone out there who has been praying or asking for a better understanding of God's will? Area code 216, are you there? Okay, an understanding of God's will, to ask the Holy Spirit that he will lead us, and the Lord never, ever leaves us or walk beside us. It's my belief that if you pray to be in God's will, that he will guide us and lead us and give us confirmation. I'm thinking of, in particular, I've been praying for this year. My prayer as the new year began, 2014 began, was that I would have a better understanding of God's will for my life, that I would be more and more sensitive, that and not stumble around, that I'd be have a clear confirmation or clear understanding of who God is in my life and how he wants to use me, but also that I'd be sensitive to his voice and that I would know his voice, for sure know his voice, for sure know what God's will is. So I want to grow closer to the Lord. I want a more intimate relationship with God. I want a relationship so that I can commune with the Lord, and like we pray to be continuously in prayer, that my prayer life would increase, even more. So I have been praying about a couple things in particular, and I was so blessed to receive a call from my spiritual mother, who, not knowing what I had been praying for, just began to talk to me about those things. And I laughed, and she wanted to know what was funny. And it was that the Lord's prayer had given me confirmation and answered my prayer, that I did understand what he was saying to me. I did understand how the Lord was moving in my life. So like right now I'm praying for direction with a project for our ministry for females, and I keep getting confirmations in that way also. So please pray, be prayerful that that this project or this effort continue, and that the Lord bless it, please. It's a ministry effort for females, mentorship where the younger women, as we're told in the Word, where the younger women are ministering to, the older women are ministering to the younger women. So let's move on to the next scripture. The next scripture is Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Amen. Amen. Romans 12, 1 and 2. In the Living Bible it says, "And so, dear brothers, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living sacrifice, holy, the kind he can accept. And when you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but be a new and different person with a fresh newness in all you do and think. Then you will learn from your own experience how his ways will really satisfy you." So let's go back. We often hear this scripture when we talk about temple. Your body be a temple of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are the temple, a living sacrifice of the Holy Spirit. And where it says, "Dear brothers, I plead with you to give," it means to volunteer your body, our bodies, to volunteer yourself, as a person of God, to not withhold anything, to not be a worldly person Monday through Saturday and then be a holy person on Sunday. He's saying to give yourself, your personality, give who you are to Christ, that your whole body, your body would be a living sacrifice. So how do we do that? Now, this is one of God's wills. We're supposed to serve the Lord enthusiastically. We're supposed to look for ways to serve the Lord and be excited about it, be pleased with it, not boastful about what we do, not haughty about what we do, that we're so holy and the look at me helping you, we're so holy, I'll help such and such and such and such. But we're supposed to do it with a humble, enthusiastic heart. I'm thinking about something just came to mind. I received something on Facebook that said that January 17th, 18th, and 19th was going to be the weekend of Pay It Forward, to do something good for someone else, to pay it forward, to do God's will in someone else's life, to be a blessing. And then it said, which is absolutely wonderful, and we should look for that all the time, but to have a weekend reminder is absolutely a blessing, a way to bless the community, especially during these times, these dark times and these cold days. So I was thinking naturally of my heart. I have a heart for those in poverty, those that are homeless, those that are hungry, you know, for children that are born in poverty, those that are sick, sick and disabled. So how could I bless someone in that respect? But as I read on a little bit further in this Facebook posting, it said in this post, what you've done, to share it with others. And you like it? I didn't like it, because I felt that for me to post what I've done, I don't want it to be confused as it's on borderline being boastful, to be boastful. I think it's good to put ideas down there, or if you've been blessed, to add a blessing, to put down that, you know, so many people were blessed at such and such. But I don't want to boast that I paid for someone's groceries, or that I bought someone's coffee, or that I passed sandwiches, you know, down on Prospect on Friday night to the homeless, because I don't want to get the glory. The glory goes to the Father. The glory goes to Jesus Christ, that I would be able to even, you know, to stretch my hand out that way to give. But maybe it's okay to publish that to say I, or just to put it in generic form, I think I would be able to do that. But I don't want to in any way be boastful. We're supposed to be humble. We're supposed to be enthusiastic for what we do, not looking for a reward.
I think it's, I say that I like that simply because in terms of just paying it forward, it just kind of reminds me of that movie, Paying It Forward.
That's right.
And the end of the movie just showed all the people, even though that you did not, they did not boast for it, they just paid it forward, but it was from a simple idea that other people caught on to, and then you began to start to look and see how many people bought into doing something for someone else. And it's almost coming out of your comfort zone, but you're letting others know, hey, I came out of my comfort zone to help someone else. You don't have to pay it forward on those 2 days. I believe that we pay it forward all the time in our life. That's what we're supposed to be as Christians. But I say that I like it, but it's because it just serves as a notice to remind those who forgot, to serve as a notice to those who did, just to say, hey, it's great, doing something good for someone else, because that's really what we're supposed to be doing one for another anyways, paying it forward or, helping one another, encouraging others. To me, that's paying it forward also is when you do something nice for someone else.
Mm-hmm. There was, I think in the 80s, they called it random acts of kindness.
Mm-hmm.
So just random acts of kindness. Can we do that? So I really would like to keep up with that and see that people have been blessed. People have been blessed, not just on the weekend, but I guess so that weekend is a good time just to publicize the idea. Random acts of kindness, paying it forward, blessed to be a blessing. Those are all things, principles from our Lord. The January 17th, 18th, and 19th. Yeah. So let's go back. So we're supposed to volunteer our body to be a living sacrifice, volunteer ourselves to be a living sacrifice. We're supposed to take care of our bodies because our body is a temple. We're reminded of that. So why do we do that? And that's because the Lord has given us the commandment that we are to take care of one another and to and be loving and kind to one another, that we are supposed to be living in community. See, love does no wrong to anyone, and we're supposed to operate in love. So if I love you, I won't harm you. If I love you, I will not harm you. Now, Romans 13:10 says, love does no wrong to anyone. That's why it fully satisfies all of God's requirements. It is the only law you need. Amen. To love one another, because love does no wrong.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be kindly affectionate to one another, not slothful in our business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, that means praying always, distributing to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality. Let me go back and let's look at those words in the Living Bible. God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, then prophesy whenever you can, and as often as your faith is strong enough to receive a message from God. And if your gift is that of serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, do a good job of teaching. And if you are a preacher, See to it that your sermons are strong and helpful. And if God has given you money, be generous in helping others with it. And if God has given you administrative ability and put you in charge of the work of others, take the responsibility seriously. Those who offer comfort to the sorrowing should do so with Christian cheer. Pretend that you love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Stand on the side of the good. Love each other with brotherly affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. Be glad for all God is planning for you. Be patient in trouble and prayerful always. And when God's children are in need, you be the one to help them out and get into the habit of inviting guests home for dinner or if they need lodging for night. Praise God.
Amen.
If someone mistreats you because you are a Christian, don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. And when others are happy, be happy with them. If they are sad, share their sorrow. Work happily together. Don't try to act big. Don't try to get into the good graces of important people, but enjoy the company of ordinary folks and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil for evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honest and clear, with clear through. Don't quarrel with anyone. Be at peace with everyone just as much as possible. Praise God. Dear friends, never avenge yourself. Leave that to God, for he has said that he will repay those who deserve it. Don't take the law into your own hands. Instead, feed your enemy if he is hungry. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, and you will be heaping coals of fire on his head. In other words, he will feel ashamed of himself for what he has done to you. Don't let evil get the upper hand, but conquer evil by doing good. Praise the Lord. So what is God's will? God's will is that we conquer evil by doing good. Do we have any comments or anyone that would like to interject something here? 708, area code 708-216. Any comments? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Janet?
I just wanted to mention that, you know, the mics are open, and this is an interactive Bible study, and we're in hopes that that you would converse as we go through Scripture for what God has, you know, laid on your heart. Many are listening by Internet. Many are listening by the phone and being blessed just by talking about, you know, what God has blessed us or how we envision what the Bible says. So, again, this is interactive, and we just come together as the body of Christ just to share what the Word has said and how God has just laid it on our hearts. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
What scripture are we at?
We just finished Romans. Well, I went on and did Romans 13, too. So, yeah. Uh-huh.
Hebrews 2:2. Habakkuk 2:2 and Habakkuk 2:3 and Habakkuk 2:14. Habakkuk 2:2. And I kind of love this. This is one of my favorites. It says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables so that he may run that reads it. And Habakkuk 2:3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not delay. And Habakkuk 2:14, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge and the glory of the Lord. as the waters cover the sea. And how I see that, is it okay? And how I see that is, it says, and the Lord answered me, and he said to me, or he said to you, when I speak to you, when you get a word from me, write it down. If there's anything that the Lord has placed on your heart, and he's speaking for you to do, that you are to write it down. And I think that we should write it down. The purpose of writing it down, because if we do not write it down, then we lose it. It says write it down and make it plain upon the table so that he may run who reads it. And I think of that as the generations to come after us, our children and their children's children. We become blessed in so many ways, but yet our children will never know it unless we write it down, unless we make it plain for them to understand. So when I read that and it says write the vision, God gives us a vision of something that we are to do, some way that we are blessed with, and we choose not to write it down. Often with the kids that I work with, when they have something in on their heart, I would usually tell them to write whatever their goals are, write whatever it is that your heart desires, write it down, put it on the wall by where you sleep so that when you wake up, you'll read it, and when you go to sleep, you'll read it. So, and I did get it from, that came from, actually from this verse here. Write the vision down and make it plain so that your children can read it and they can run with it. So someone can pick it up. If you've stuck or we have stuck, then somebody can pick up that vision that God has given you and they can continue running with it. That's almost like passing a torch on to someone else, you know, or even a baton. You know, you see a race running, people running around, a track. They run around and they're running and they pass that torch, I mean that baton to the next person, and they take it and they run as fast as they can to get to the next person, you know, until they get to the finish line. So that's how I see that in terms of writing it down. And it says, for the vision is for an appointed time. So when I see that the vision is not for an appointed time, that means that we may write a vision down and it may not come to fruition right away. But God has a time that is going to come alive. It's going to come alive. And it says, but at the end, it shall speak and not lie. So if God has spoken a vision, has spoken to our hearts and given us a vision, and if we've written it down, then God is going to allow it to come to fruition. Not on our time, but it's going to come to fruition. So all we have to do is just be still and wait on God. So when I see that, again, it's write it down and wait on God, because it will surely come. It may be a delay, but it will surely come. And then in 2:14 says, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge and the glory of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. God given so many of us visions, and we're writing it down, and then our generation is running with it, and we're just passing it on, and it just begins to start to almost spread until it covers the earth, and that's nothing but the glory and the wisdom of the Lord. Amen?
I don't know how many people who are listening, how many of our listeners keep a journal, but it's good to keep a journal, too, as my husband was saying, in writing. And actually, when you look at some of these self-help books and these especially in business, they always tell people to write down their goals, like goal setting and so forth. But this is a God principle.
Amen.
It's a God principle. If we go back to Jeremiah 36:2 is like a parallel to Habakkuk 2:2. Jeremiah 36:2 says, take a scroll and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel and Judah and all the nations from the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah until now. And so we're talking about writing it down, writing down as a reminder of what the Lord has spoken to us in our spirit. The evidence of writing it down, the purpose or the power in writing it down is so that you can see it, you rehearse it in your mind, it has a place in your mind because you thought it, you wrote it down, you see it. You can always go back and read it again as a reminder. So if the blessing hasn't come, if the goal hasn't been set yet, it's a reminder that this is where you're going. It keeps you on track. When we talk about being in God's will and that God is the counselor, he is our guide,
amen,
that it keeps you on the right path. Just like when we're driving, my husband and I were driving to Virginia doing some genealogy search and visiting family, and we would check the GPS often, Now, we had put in the GPS where we were going, okay? But we would check it still to make sure we were on the right track. We kept looking at it. And the GPS is talking to us, telling us step by step where we should go. Well, that's how the Lord, that's how the Holy Spirit works with us too. The map is written, because when you write it down, or the Lord has told you where he wants you to go, he gives us glimpses of our future and where we're going. And if we write it down as he gives it to us, we're doing the map. And we can see in the map where we're going. I remember when I was in high school, and my father gave me the book, The Magic of Thinking Big. And it's a book, it's like a self-help book, a book of encouragement and so forth, but it's a book that business-minded people and managers read and have their cohorts and their underlings read. For team building and to increase productivity and for a positive impact on their business and so forth. So I wasn't too keen on reading it, but I read it, okay? I read that book twice. I read it that time. I was sick. He said, you need something to read, and he brought that to me in the hospital. So I ended up reading it. The main principle on the book was writing the vision down. Now, if you're working, period, most businesses have their vision or mission statement, vision and mission statements. They have maybe their motto or whatever as a reminder of those who work there and those who frequent there and to their customers of what their mission is and where they're headed, the goal of where they're headed.
Mm-hmm.
Today I called my husband at work, and he even answered the phone with the school's motto and vision. What is it, John?
We're not going to forget
it. Say it.
We're not going to forget it.
Say it.
Yeah, go ahead. Keep
okay, he won't say it. But saying what, because if you keep saying it, if you read it, if it's over the door, you will get to the place where the Lord wants you to be. So as a teenager and all throughout my life since that time, I always have my list, my goal list, and write down the things that the Lord has placed on my heart, the visions that I've gotten, so that I can have it. Because when it comes to pass, write it plain, because when it comes to pass, I can run with it and show everybody the date and that the Lord is faithful, that the Lord is faithful, that he does not lie, that he has a place for me, that he loves even little Susie, right where I am, allows me to bloom where I'm planted, but still has a future and a better plan for me. So praise the Lord. If you haven't gotten anything out of that, I sure have, so I don't preach myself happy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Any comments from all of you that are online listening in, please do. Don't hesitate. We want this to be an open environment and a free environment so you can share what the Lord has said. And, you know, God speaks to all of us. He speaks to all of us. You know, I may read it one way, and you may read it another way. And that's why we invite the body to come together.
Amen.
If you are the arm, then the leg should not get upset at the arm because they have two different agendas, okay? So we do invite you to share, do for our Bible, interactive Bible study. We are here every Wednesday from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, so please do not hesitate to share. Amen. We're listening to someone in the background. It sounds like someone is ready to share with us. Do you want to comment?
Amen. I do want to comment. I was listening to the scripture, and when you talk about vision, I was listening to what was said, and the thing about vision that I like is that vision is contagious.
Yes.
And one of the things that I was talking about in my church, one of our mottos for this year is, vision is contagious. Catch the vision. And if you write down the vision and you take that vision, now you're making it tangible.
Amen.
Once you wrote it down. And now somebody else can catch that vision and they can run on with you. And the thing that I like that you said is that it's going to come to pass. And that's
Amen.
What you got to remember about vision. Once you put it out there, to do, it's going to do what it's got to do. It might not happen today. It might not happen tomorrow. It might not happen next week, but you got to know that it's going to happen.
Amen.
And that's part
Amen.
Of being the visionary and having the vision, because once you wrote it down and you see it come to fruition and watch it happen, now you can show somebody else the glory of God, and they can
Amen.
Catch the vision and run on with the vision. So it is extremely important to write your vision down, because your vision might not be the next person's vision, but your vision might be just that thing needed to bring the next person. Because as I said when I started, vision is contagious, and
Amen.
Anything that's contagious can be caught. So I say, catch the vision and move with your vision.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Amen. I like your enthusiasm. I like your enthusiasm, because that's part of it. That's part of it. Some people don't understand the God's plan in our lives. You know, he loves us so much, and he has a plan for us and a plan for good, not for evil. Be excited. I like your excitement.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, man of God.
We're going to
move on to our next scripture, and we had talked about it last week, and it's your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalms 119:105. Anyone would like to comment on that? Amen. You know, when I look at that, I'm going to go ahead and jump in, since everybody's trying to jump in at one time. The word is a lamp unto my feet. This is another one of my favorites. You know, even in Proverbs 6:23, it states that the word is, it's a commandment for us to study the word of God. And when we study the word of God is it's a guide. It's a guide. And when we study the word of God, it becomes almost like a path that we're supposed to take in our lives. And it prevents us when we run into danger, or we come in contact with dark places or any type of evil that's going to hurt us. The word becomes a lamp to our feet. It illuminates us and lets us know what's ahead or what we are surrounded by. The word is a lamp unto my feet. It guides and directs my path, even though that when we begin to start to make decisions on our own, we tend to make mistakes. We tend to run into obstacles and feel like that obstacle is going to prevent us from doing what we want to do. But God has other ways for us to get around those obstacles. All we have to do is study the word. And that's why I love coming together and just being able to share with the body of Christ, just sharing the word of God so that we can begin to start to feed off of each other. Sure, you may be in Chicago, you may be in Indiana, you may be in Cleveland, but when we come together, just taking a minute out, you don't know who's being blessed by what you say. You don't know who's being blessed by what God has laid on your heart or an experience you may have. We have to learn from each other. And oftentimes what we do is we don't share enough. That's almost like moving in terms of writing it down and making it plain, speaking and making it plain, sharing the word with one another so that we begin to start to feed off the word of God. Amen? A light unto my path. That's just a direction. It's a guide. It's a marker. It's something that teaches me how to guide myself through the path that God has orchestrated for me. Any comments?
Hey, amen. I have to comment again on what you said, that his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And you know what? Sometimes when we out here, it gets kind of dark. Sometimes
amen.
We can't always see what's in front of us because situations and things that are going on in life make things dark. But if we just get in the word and
yes.
follow the word, see what the word says, it'll guide us which way to go every time. We might
That's
not
right.
be able to figure it out. We busting our brains and trying to know which way do I go, and the answer is right there in the word. If you just read the word, he says, study to show yourself approved unto God. If you just read the word, it'll
Amen.
Show you which way to go. It'll
Amen.
Tell you which way to go every time. And that's the one thing I love about it. He said it's a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. So not only is it going to show me and direct me which way to walk, but it's going to lighten up the path so that I can follow the right way. So
Amen.
No matter which way I think I should go, if I just follow the word is going to lead me right every time.
Amen. 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 Isn't it interesting that God has just given us, he's just given us the word, he's given us a law that all we have to do is just follow it. It's so simple, but we're the ones who make it complex. We're the ones who mess it up. And that's simply because, you know, we're all born in sin. But you know what? Sin does not have to follow us the rest of our life. We can change our lives from that old to that new. You know, once we jump into that new, God has, I mean, when they say that God will open up the windows of heaven, I believe that to be true. I believe that to be true. God opening up the windows of heaven in our lives. I mean, it's almost like we have so many gifts waiting for us, and all we have to do is just find them. All we have to do is just find them. God said, go this way, and your gift is there, or you'll find it there. Go this way, and you'll find it there. And we tend to begin to start to confuse it. Why? Because we begin to start to confuse it with our worldly, the things that we see, the things that we hear, and not guided by the Spirit. Any comments? Any more comments? 216, we haven't heard anything from you. Word is a lamp to our feet. My brother, did you want to make any more comments on that in terms of the word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path? Amen, amen. We are looking at maybe like about 6 more minutes, and we can probably go into one more scripture. And if we look at Jeremiah 29:11.
That's where we started.
Oh, did we start on that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so.
For I know the thoughts that I have, that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, rather a future and a hope. The nation shall not come to an end. The exile shall be followed by restoration. And thoughts of peace, because here God gives them understanding when there's peace.
Amen.
That his love was moved towards them. He said that he would perform his good word, his promises often repeated to them. That for the fulfillment of these, they must pray, seek, and search. That we must pray, seek, and search. That he would hearken and they should find him. That he is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And that we should seek him with our whole heart. So the Lord is telling us that his love is always towards us. That he tells us over and over again, his promises, the promises are repeated over and over again. And those promises will be fulfilled if we pray, search, and seek him. If we hearken to his word, if we find him, that we listen to him, that we understand that he will always provide, and we have faith in that, and that he should be sought with our whole heart, prayerfully. So what's the self-evaluation? I promised you I'd have questions for you, just to kind of ponder, rhetorical questions, if you will. Do you understand that God has a specific purpose for you? That he just didn't save you just to be saving you, that there's a purpose for you? Do you seek God, his direction, through his word and through prayer every morning? Who is determining your direction if you don't? Do you believe that God directs you, that he orders your steps? Will God's plan for you hurt you? Absolutely not. Will he prosper you? Do you remember that purpose is not a goal? We talked about that, that in business and in the world, they call it goal setting. But in Christ, purpose is like direction, because you're never retired in Christ. In the kingdom of God, you don't reach a goal and stop. That's what happens when you reach goals. You stop. You set new goals. But in Christ, we always move forward. So you see the promises fulfilled, and then that promise will lead to another promise. And another promise. And another promise. It's like reading the map that we talked about earlier. Have you written out God's purpose for your life? What is your spiritual purpose? What is your spiritual lifestyle like? What is your physical purpose? What is your intellectual purpose? What is your financial purpose? Write those things down. Post them on your refrigerator. I keep mine in the bathroom near the mirror so I can see it repeatedly. I used to keep it in the car, like on the dashboard, so I could see it repeatedly. Review it often. Revise it every year. But I promise you that as you write down your vision, that they will, as they come to pass, you will be able to check them off, and you can run back to this Bible study and share those things with us as they are. We thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, we are New Beginnings Ministry, and we welcome you to join us again next week, same time, same station. Right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much.
I can look beyond the sky.